Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise.
Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Chefs, Chefs. Sports City, Chefs,
Chefs. Yes, Lord, we got a brand new present. What? Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of me.
Come on,
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Sports City, Chef, Chef, Sports City, Chef, Chef, Chef,
Yeah.
Connecticut.
Yes, 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 yes. It's the supervillain himself, the villain Barry Jordan here on the Callless Cookout, the villain versus timeless, the villain versus the hero, where good always wins. But hey, every hero needs a villain, every villain needs a hero. I got the best one in the house, so I'll bring him in a second, call number 929-477-2759 with you for the next 58-plus minutes or so, talking all things sports. I got the big man, the head honcho himself, Mr. Timeless, TP Timeless, the hero of Sports City. TP, what's going on, bro?
I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie. Stepped outside the kitchen. Timeless is alive. I'm feeling some type of way. Happy New Year to everybody out there. Barry already told y'all the phone number is very interesting. We got an old but new face in the NBA right now playing out here in the middle of the United States of America. I mean, there's a lot of stuff to get into. I can't wait to throw stuff on the grill. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm good, man. It's good to hear your voice. Happy New Year, and hopefully everybody close to you is doing well. You know, it's crazy out there. I got to stay safe. You know, I'll say real quickly, you know, my oldest just got diagnosed with COVID, so it's, you know, guys, got to be safe, man. It's not a game out here. You got to do what we got to do, get through this whole pandemic. So, but it's good to hear your voice, TP. And then I also got I don't know if you want to call him he wants to be the villain. He loves the villain. He likes the moniker. He thinks he's serious, but he wants to be a villain. He wants to be the bad guy. I got Malik's dad on the line, Mr. Sirius. What's up, Sirius?
Yo, man, I done took off my pads, threw my shirt. Let me stop, man. What's going on, man? It's your boy, Sirius, back in the building. What's going on, man? TP, man. It's pleasure to hear you, man. Happy New Year to you, my guy.
Yo, I know this, man. Yo, people be crashing at McDonald's, man. Y'all be safe, man. People out here can't drive cars at McDonald's, man. Just to let y'all know, man. People bug out. People wild stuff, man.
The one on the east side?
No. Somewhere on the East Coast, you know what I'm saying? And they be throwing stories out there at people, and then when they get caught, like a superhero guy come out there, you know, adjust the situation. I mean, I wasn't there at the time. I was hoping that he was all right, but I had to, at the time while it was happening, I had to change my money from my checking to my savings, you know, because this is how stuff go down. I had to say pineapple, you know, and make sure everything was copacetic, you know.
Safe word. I forgot what our safe word was.
Exactly.
I gotta remember. You used to use I think pineapples. That was just easy. Everybody knew what pineapples. Good to hear your voice, Sirius. And then I got Mr. Harvey calling in from the 615. Michael, the Laker fan. Mike, what's going on, bro?
Listen, man. I like a few different sports teams, man. And I'm loyal to my sports teams. And you look at all the different sports teams that I like, and you got to point out the one that you decide to like. Like, listen, I come in to all of these shows, and listen, I go ahead and swallow the pill for that favorite team of mine. So the one that's active right now and going and struggling, that's the one you got to put out. But hey, villain, that's what villains do. yes, I'm a Lakers fan, a Tigers fan, a Braves fan, a Saints fan, Who Dat Nation, baby, and all that. But thank you for having me. Much love to Timeless TP. Without him, I wouldn't be here. Serious, how are you, sir? Villain, thank you for having me. And I think that's everybody that I've heard so far. But thank you guys for having me. I'm looking forward to chopping up with everybody tonight.
Now, you're like the Ludacris of Sports City because you rep in different area codes. Yeah. Like, it's, you're like all over the place with all your teams. It's hysterical, but I love it, though. We'll talk a little Laker if you want to. We'll talk about it, but we gotta go from the West
I
to
just
the
told
East Coast.
You no.
No, I'm saying wait. I know you want to talk. I that's code for you want to talk about it. So, but we'll go to the East Coast. Like TP Timeless said, Mr. Kyrie Irving is back on his part-time basis. He is playing his first game of the 2021-22 season for the Brooklyn Nets against the Indiana Pacers in Indiana. They were down at halftime. The Nets were down double digits. And, you know, listen, he's back. He's on the court. He, you know, this is probably, I think, the eighth game, or I think maybe a couple more, that all three of the big three have been on the court together. So that's a great sign, but, you know, they're down in the third quarter, 81-69 right now. Kevin Durant, 20 points going, you know, just doing Kevin Durant things. You know, he is a beast. Kyrie Irving, I think he did start the game. He's played 22 minutes. He's got 8 points so far. His plus minus is minus eight. So, you know, first game back, trying to get his bearings, but Mr. Timeless, I'll come to you first, brother. What do you see so far with Kyrie Irving playing with Kevin Durant and James Harden? And, you know, what's the long-term effect that can he be that guy on a part-time basis for the Nets?
This is just game one. He has not played basketball since last season where he rolled his ankle with his unit. I think he'll be a key piece on the road. It's just unfortunate that the home games where he'll be getting the crowd involved and things of that nature, it won't happen at all. But while they're out there, I mean, on the road, that's an added gun, and a lot of teams are going to have to deal with him, Harden, and KD as much as possible. It actually makes it tough as they get into the playoffs. If they do get that cohesiveness to start playing ball, it's back to the old square one, and if they're at home, I mean, they got to try to survive the storm without them. But I feel like this is more or less a scrimmage for them, to me. Whether they win or lose this game up against the Pacers, they're still one of the top teams in the Eastern Conference. I don't believe in the Pacers regardless. I feel like they still got a lot more work to do. I feel like that team may implode as soon as possible. So they're playing, like, more or less for pride to, like, knock off the Nets at this point in time. But, again, this is his first game back in January. It's going to be fine to me. I hate to be brutal, but I'm going to say this. I'd rather have Kyrie on the floor than, you know, somebody that's been up there missing shots left and right, and we're trying to figure out how Joe Harris is still on his team. So it's like I'd rather have Kyrie out there. But let him get his feet underneath him. It's probably going to take him 2 weeks or so on the road to, like, feel his team out. Once he's comfortable, it's back to square one and how things were last season.
Yeah, it might take a little longer because, like you said, he's only on the road. So, you know, he's not going to get a feel for his guys, you know, every night. So hopefully they can figure it out. And you know, we'll get to the playoffs when we get there. I think having him on the court is an added bonus for these guys. I wish they would guard Lance Stephenson. I mean, the guy's, you know, coming off of playing, you know, for COVID reasons, and guy's got 24 points. I mean, please, Nets, play defense. Serious, talk to me. I know you mentioned Kyrie Irving. What are you seeing so far from him in his first game? What's that?
You sound like a Nets fan.
No, I mean, dude, I mean, Lance Stephenson, really? That guy?
I mean, did you leave Manhattan? Did you leave?
No, it's not that. It's, dude, that's hate.
Wait,
that's
did you
hate.
Go
across
the Brooklyn Bridge? Did you wait? Just tell me, Just tell me you went across the Brooklyn Bridge right now.
No,
did you leave?
No. How you
did
gonna,
you
how
leave?
How you going to let Lance – no, absolutely not. My Knicks won last night against these sorry Pacers, and the Pacers, after playing in the Garden last night, came home and putting a whooping on Brooklyn. That's a problem. But, it's orange and blue skies, nevertheless, always, even though we're trying to get to 500. Just get to 500. Just get to 500.
Sure
which
that,
orange
man.
And blue? Which orange and blue?
The
Knicks, don't do that.
Like,
don't,
you know,
we don't have a lot of time. Don't do that. Don't do that
though.
To the people. Don't do that to the public.
I you
confuse them.
You.
They know I'm a Knicks fan. They know I'm a Yankees fan. Don't confuse
well,
the public.
See,
they can,
well, you're not a Yankee fan. You got the right orange and blue. You got the Mets there.
See?
Yeah,
see,
he got the Mets orange and blue, too. Stop it.
New year, new you, right? Always got to give me shit. New year, new you. No, absolutely not. TP time.
Jigga said never change.
This is TP every day.
Every day.
Like
every
a
day.
I don't speak, but I understand.
Boy.
Hey, we said that in the too sometimes, you understand?
You understand?
Oh my goodness. I can't with you guys. I can't with you. I'm trying to have a serious I can't.
You know what? Let me tell you
serious.
Something. If a show with us didn't cause some laughs and didn't cause you to get a little exasperated from time to time, you wouldn't love us as much, so welcome, really.
Oh, I know. I mean, Sirius wound me up. I think he did it on purpose. He wound me up yesterday and just set me off in the room and let me just like crazy.
Like
so,
a Tonka toy.
That's
what I was
going
to say. Like he wound you up like a Tonka toy. Like and just let you go.
Yeah,
he made
basically.
Sure like the path was clear. And then you went into Rome and just let you go.
But Mike, you know those toys, you used to wind them all the way up and then hold it, right? You hold it until you put it in the middle of the room, and then you let it go. That's exactly what he did. Like, he didn't let the pin drop. Yeah, he didn't let the pin drop while it was in his hand. He held that thing
tight, all the way to the back.
He
held it in place. Like, he held it in place, and he didn't let it go until, like, contact with the ground, bro. So, like, you
exactly.
The maximum amount of time, at the maximum amount of speed. To just completely get, that's for sure. That's what happened.
Oh, my goodness. I love it. But seriously, talk to me about Kyrie real quick, man. What are you seeing so far?
You know, I'm seeing a guy who's trying to get his wits about him a little bit. You know, honestly, for me, I've said all I need to say about it for now. But, you know, he's back. He's on the floor. He's a vital member to their efforts to try to, you know, make a run and, you know, win a playoff series and the NBA finals. So, again, this is the first time in a long time that the quote-unquote Brooklyn Big Three has been on the floor. So we'll see what happens with it. I mean, it's a long game. Indiana hasn't been known to sustain leads. And Brooklyn has all their firepower tonight. So we'll see what happens with it. But it's interesting to see him on the floor after, you know, him being away for so long and everything as to why. So it's comical to see, but, you know, hopefully he gets himself together and the Brooklyn Nets can go on a run here.
Yeah, I mean, if they can cut it in half by the fourth quarter, I think they'll be all right. But Sabonis, I'm looking at Sabonis as a guy that probably should be on the move for the Pacers, to TP's point. They're 14-24. What are we talking about? Well, these guys should be 24-14. I mean, you know, they're a solid team. I don't know if they should be that good, but they're a solid team. They're not. That's not their record. 14-24 should not be their record. So I think Sabonis, who doesn't seem like he's going to be there much, I think he's got to find his way out of town. So we'll see how that goes. Michael, you know, you can tell me what you see from Kyrie, or you can take it to the next level and say, you know, what's his impact as a part-time player for this team going forward? Can he make a positive impact on this team and help them get into a playoff?
Can he make a positive impact? Yeah. I mean, like, he's a very good shooter. He can handle the ball. He's a magician at times with the ball in his hands. Like, he's not going to make the same kind of impact as he was playing full-time. But listen, it's been how many months since this guy's played a game? So I caution any overreactions, no matter what, one way or the other, however this game turns out. He can make a difference. The impact overall, what he can make on this team is, you know, definitely more limited when you're part-time. So obviously you're not going to have that same impact, but there are some people that would make the argument that 50% of Kyrie or 50% of the time is better than nothing. So we'll see what happens. I'm not going to overreact from this first performance and how well they can keep everything together, but it'll be interesting to see what happens there. As far as Sabonis goes, like, this guy's a double-double machine. Obviously, he comes from a very strong bloodline. I think I've had this conversation many times in barbershops and other spaces. I don't think a lot of people realized how great his father really, really was, because by the time he came over here and played for Portland, he was late in his career, but he was a fantastic big man. So I think DeMontis definitely has some of those Arbidas genes, maybe not to that same level. It did help him climb quite as high. But he could be an impact player in the Eastern Conference, though. I still think, like, you know, one good run can put you right back in the playoff race. I mean, in the playoff race. And I'm not necessarily saying that this is the best option or not for Sabonis to move on. Maybe it is, but at some point you look at the Pacers and you're like, maybe an international guy is one of the guys that maybe you can keep around. Because let's be honest, like, people aren't knocking down the doors to go play in Indianapolis. So you got to draft them or hopefully land these guys via trade. But Indianapolis is not like you're like, oh my God, I dream of moving to Indianapolis. So it's not like one of your premier places for guys to go. So if you could take a European guy who is going to provide you a very, very solid baseline, even if you got to give him franchise-type money, maybe that's the kind of guy they have to necessarily build around. Now, to your point, maybe for his best interest long-term moving forward, it would be better for him to be moved. But if I'm the Pacers, I don't know that I let that happen. The last couple of times I had stars or people that could be legitimate guys, I wasn't able to keep them. So maybe I do what I can to build around this guy.
I agree, but I just feel like the experiment in Indiana has kind of run its course. I don't think this unit – I think they're trying to get rid of Miles Turner, just looking for the best offer. You know, I just feel like the pieces don't fit. I think he's got the most value, you know, and then Turner does. So – and I just don't know. I just feel like they're just going to be – a 7-10 seed that gets into the playoffs and then gets bounced out the first round. So they're playing themselves out of that top pick, and then you can't get into the lottery, but then can't really make their way to the top of the league. So I don't know where they go from there. I feel like that they need to kind of blow it up and start over, but I don't know if anybody else has an opinion on that, but that's kind of where I see the Pacers. I don't want to spend a lot of time on the Pacers because they're not that good. So, Arvidas Sabonis, unbelievable. I wish he was in the league like probably 5-6 years sooner than he came in. He was an unbelievable passer, great big man. He had like mitts for hands. He was just huge hands. He was a hell of a player. So,
Anybody watch international basketball, Olympic-type basketball, 84, especially in that 88 Olympics, got to see what kind of player that guy was. He was pretty special.
Right. So he was a terrific player. I want to switch gears. I want to get into the NFL a little bit. You know, before we get to the playoff picture, I definitely want to bring up a couple stories that have come up. One is Jim Harbaugh. There's rumors that he might be considering going to the NFL. I don't know how true these rumors are, there's anonymous sources saying that it's very possible that he could make a run at the NFL. I guess the Bears have come up because we all know Nagy's not long for that job. The Giants might be a possibility if they really do move on from Judge.
The Raiders, obviously, because they don't have a stable situation at head coach. You know, I don't see that guy being a permanent solution. Even though he's got them in a playoff run, got to give him credit. But you know, those are the teams that have kind of come up. I'll start with you, TT. If you were Jim Harbaugh, what would you do? Would you stay at Michigan, or would you test the waters and go back to the NFL and try it again to get to the Super Bowl?
I'm going to be brutally honest. Whatever he does is a good idea. If he stays in college, he's still getting that contract. He's still getting that contract with Michigan. If he goes to the pros, they're going to throw him a boatload of money. They're going to make sure that he's handsomely paid. But me looking at this personally, I'm stepping outside of the analytical box. I don't care anymore on what Harbaugh does. Harbaugh is the one that when it starts to look good, he backs out on the team. It looked good in Stanford with Andrew Luck. He left. After that, he goes to San Francisco with Kyle Williams, muffing punts against the Giants. This dude received death threats. They get right back to the Super Bowl. He calls the wrong call at the end of the game to help his brother get a Super Bowl. And then they get back to the NFC Championship game, calls a bad call again, going to Crabtree in two different games, and that's not the person he should have went to, backs out on his team. While this team went to three different NFC Championship games, went to one Super Bowl, backed out, went to Michigan, didn't really sail in the ship the right way. He beats Ohio State this year, and is entertaining the conversation of going back to the NFL. I could care less about Harbaugh right now. You could do what you want to do, whatever, you know, float your boat, you could do it, but you're not honest to anybody, no NFL team, organization, or university that you're out there coaching. I couldn't build character with you at all. You could talk all of the crap that you want to try to show them the, you know, more or less the light at the end of the tunnel, but I'm not buying that. You are in a situation where you are about to get fired. You signed that extension this year, to end up saying, you know what, I'm going to entertain the situation of me going to the Raiders. Because I can't lie, Las Vegas is my favorite city in the world. So it's entertaining to try to go there, but you at this point in time in your life where you're trying to help Michigan at least get to a national championship and you got lit up in the playoffs, and let alone, I know what else you're running from, you're running from Ohio State that looks even better than when you beat them. I really feel like you guys escaped playing in the Big House. You guys have to go to the Horseshoe next year, and I know you do not want to go up there and get beat like a drum in the middle of an Indian summer. I don't want to hear it. So I could care less.
serious. I mean, you know, TP brings up a good point, though. He kind of wears out his welcome where he goes. In Stanford, a couple years, wears out his welcomes on his way out. San Francisco, same deal. I'm surprised he's still in Michigan at that university. But serious, I mean, what do you think about Harbaugh and the rumors that there might be an NFL reunion on the horizon?
Well, there's smoke, there's fire. You know, I've always said that. I do believe that he will try to make his way back to the NFL for a couple of reasons that TP just alluded to. But this is a guy who regular season was 44-19, won. This was the guy who, in my honest opinion, was big and, you know, influential in developing and bringing Colin Kaepernick to what he was in the NFL. And if you look at the teams that are expected to have coaching vacancies, one team comes to mind, and that is the Chicago Bears with Justin Fields. What does Justin Fields do? Runs the read option. He's a decent thrower of the football, i.e. Colin Kaepernick. So it's almost too easy, you know what I'm saying, to kind of connect the dots, if you will. To TP's point, if he does choose to stay in Ann Arbor, you know, that's great. They finally got over the mountain, so to speak, beat Ohio State, made the college football playoffs, and, you know, he's from there. You know, that's his alma mater, so he got his alma mater there. Let's keep it a buck. Ohio State's going to be back in the picture next year. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Alabama is Alabama. Georgia is Georgia. You know, there may be some different school to get that fourth seed, but I'm pretty damn certain that it probably will not be Michigan. So, I mean, I guess the saying get out while the getting good, if you will, is coming into play here. But again, to another thing to TP's point, even though he has left everywhere he's been, he's won everywhere he's been. This is a guy in college who has a record of 117-45 with a winning percentage of about over 700. So he wins in college.
Mm-hmm.
NFL, again, 44-19-1 with the winning percentage just about at 700. So when he was a head coach of San Fran and NFL, he won there. He's been to a Super Bowl. I can't throw shade at his idea or his desire to get back into coaching. My thing is, which team and what situation is going to be the best fit for him? And ironically, the Chicago Bears are the first thing that comes to mind based off of the quarterback, Justin Fields, or what they can potentially do with the assortment of options that they have at their disposal.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why he would. He could print money in Michigan. To TP's point, like you can get a boatload of money. He just came off of the biggest win of his career in Ohio State, and then beating Iowa, who fraud alert, said it for a while, beat them in the Big Ten championship game. So I mean, he could print money there. I don't know why he would leave other than the challenge and more money. Mike, I mean, what do you think about Harbaugh potentially leaving?
I'll tell you why. So I'm going to go a couple of different places, though. You mentioned California a couple of times. On album number 10 by Too Short, there was a song on there called Getting It. And in the course of the song, he said, Getting It, why the getting it good. And so helping Michigan, a historic football program, rise to this point definitely will increase his dollar value. So to TP's point, like, they're going to throw a boatload of money wherever he was to go, right? So to me, it looks at a couple things. The first question is, does he enjoy recruiting? Because that's a part of the college game that you better be able to do and do well, to be able to compete with the Alabama, Georgia's, Clemson's, and Texas A&M's. And I know they're down this year, but LSU's of the world, USC's of Lincoln Riley going out there, not to mention Ohio State, Penn State, and the people that you have in the Big Ten. So if he doesn't enjoy recruiting, then that's a reason to jump to the NFL. The second thing is, if you look at recruiting ratings, and I understand that recruiting ratings don't determine everything. There are some 2- and 3-star guys, a la Justin Jefferson, that really turn themselves into great professionals by their work in college and everything else. But there is some pretty distinct correlations between recruiting rankings and success on the field in the regular season. There's always a couple of outliers, but the teams that recruit very high are usually up there towards the end of the season. Michigan has not had very many great recruiting classes. And every year that they haven't had great recruiting classes, Ohio State has. They can thank their good fortunes for the weather this year, which made it to where it was difficult to necessarily throw the ball a ton. And they were able to run the ball and exploit that weakness in Ohio State's defense. If I'm Jim Harbaugh, I don't know yet, stepping back, how many games I can win against Ohio State. Not only next year going into the horseshoe, but honest to God, I mean, I think you'd be doing good if you could get 2 out of the next 5, and I don't think you're going to get that. So to that point being said, like, if you don't like recruiting and the right pro job opens up, what we've learned, though, Nick Saban showed us, Sean Payton has shown us, there are a lot of people that have shown us, franchise quarterbacks are few, far between, hard to come by. If you have a guy that could be a franchise quarterback, though, you can have success at that next level. So, listen, he's going to flirt with it anyway. He's got an extension right now. If the right job doesn't come open, or if he doesn't get tagged for the right job, he's just going to say, no, I'm devoted to Michigan. Next year his name will be out there again, and we'll see if it's the right job or not. And to TP's point, I agree as far as, like, character, integrity, whatever else you want to point out. for this man. When he was a player for the Chicago Bears, I want to say, he did an episode on Saved by the Bell back in the day. I don't know what the 2021 version of Saved by the Bell is, but whatever it is, if you want to, like, restore some people's faith in your integrity or character, maybe you ought to try to do a Saturday morning appearance on TV. But whatever he does, man. He's gonna have a modicum of success, and we don't know if he'll ever be able to get over the hump. He may just take whatever team is with to the precipice. But I'm kind of on TP's wavelength on that, man. I don't care that much what he does. You know, we'll see what unfolds, but he's gonna make money wherever he goes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, his name came up last year after that debacle in the horseshoe, to TP's point, because he might not have came back. You know, they might have got rid of him, but they brought him back. They had a little bit of vote of confidence, and the university's confidence was rewarded with his performance this year. They came up short against Georgia, got shellacked, but they did get a Big Ten championship out of it. So they thought, like, he was going to be out of Michigan. Might as well go to the NFL. What positions are open? Now it's like he can kind of print money if he goes to the NFL. He's kind of a darling right now. You know, to your point, Mike, I would only go to a situation with a franchise quarterback. And to me, that's Las Vegas and possibly Jacksonville if you want to, you know, hedge your bets on Trevor Lawrence, even though he's having a horrific season so, you know, this year. But I mean, like, New York,
wait,
me with that.
Stop 1 second. I'm
Go
sorry.
Ahead.
Real quick.
I
just got to make sure that I'm understanding where you are. Are you telling me that Derek Carr is a franchise quarterback?
Yes. Why not? They're not in the playoff picture without him. Do you not think he's a franchise quarterback?
I have my doubts.
If he was on, would you take him on New Orleans right now in one game to get yourself in the playoffs?
I'll take Jameis Winston.
You would take Jameis Winston over Derek Carr right now.
Hold up.
Yeah, pause.
I'm sitting here chilling. Reading this article, you know, watching the Rocket game was doing, and this man honestly said on our show that he would take Jameis Winston over Derek Carr.
Right now,
you smoking good stuff and not sharing, or what? Game.
I'm not sold on Derek Carr. If it were for my Saints franchise, at least Winston knows the offense a little bit. I don't know, like, if you had a chance to give him the same amount of time in the same system, I'm not sure. But I don't know that I would call Derek Carr a franchise quarterback.
I totally disagree with you. I don't know. How are the Raiders 9-7 without him, with everything that's gone on? We just – Sirius just sent another player, right, that got a DUI out there. You know, they had the situation with the coach, everything. Like, they're not 9-7 without that guy there. I'm sorry, they're not. I'm not
disagreeing with you. I agree with that. I'm just not sure he's a franchise quarterback.
I kind of see where you're coming from, because they've been trying to get rid of him, you know, for a couple years now. But it's like, he just, you know, he has his games where it's like, oh, my God, not again. But then he has, like, a game against, like he did against the Cowboys on Thanksgiving, where you're like, wow. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, TP, am I wrong? I mean, like, what do you think? Do you think, you're a Las Vegas guy. Like, would you want to keep him there? Like, what's the feeling out there in Las Vegas about Derek Carr?
I think they're done with them. There's a couple articles that I've read that they said there's 15 quarterbacks potentially on a move, and he's one of the 15, and he's been there far too long and not really made a difference from being mediocre. I get it. He had a great year this season. At one point in the early portion of the season, he led the league in passing yards a game. He was throwing 400 yards a game. But once Waller got out of the lineup, he went back to the pumpkin that was in the patch, everything that was around him, the people, they turned into little mice, and he went back to the rags on his body and had to go back up into the attic and start cleaning up again. So that's what Derek Carr looks like in Vegas. He has to get out of there. They need a new quarterback, a new shiny toy to put on the shelf because right now I don't think Derek Carr can get them past a first-round win in the playoffs. They may get to the playoffs this season, but I don't think they get out of the first round. It looks good at this point in time. He had one 12-4 season, and he broke his leg. But that's brutally it. I mean, Renfro is actually making this season for them. It's more a Renfro show than I'm giving Derek Carr any credit. I'm not – he's not that guy. His situation is similar to what Detroit looked like with Matt Stafford. They're going to have to break this up and get somebody in there and make it work. The best part about it is Mariota's right behind them, so they got a quarterback that has been to the playoffs, that has the speed to get away from defenses if he can't get the pass off and pick up some yards with his feet. So the Raiders will be all right if they can make it happen, but I don't think Derek Carr lasts there long.
I'd take him in New York.
See,
this
is where I differ from CP. I honestly think that, now again, this is all predicated, and let me go ahead and preface this by saying, this is all predicated on who the next head coach is going to be in Vegas. If it's going to be somebody else who wants to bring in their guy and do everything else, then this is a moot point. However, okay, I thought you almost hit that. However, with that being said, I think Derek Carr is the right guy for the Vegas Raiders. I think I don't necessarily say he's a franchise. You know, I'm going to start a team, start up, and that's the guy I'm going to put in there to start the team. But he has great camaraderie with Hunter Renfro. He has great camaraderie with Darren Lawler. This is a guy who literally single-handedly, in my opinion, got the Raiders in position that they're in now, both on the field and off the field. Let's keep in mind, when the whole thing with John Gruden went down the way it did, Derek Carr was the guy who routed the truth, galvanized, you know, everybody's like, listen, we're going to rally. We're going to put it – we're going to bind together. We're going to get it done. So for as much as Derek Carr throws up, you know, goof troop numbers, you know, and get every quarterback has off days and bad days or whatever it could be, I think he's the right guy for the Raiders. I think he is a starter in this league, and I sure as hell would take him over – Jameis Winston. There is no doubt in my mind that he's a better quarterback than Jameis Winston. I think he's a top 15 quarterback.
Okay, I'm not comparing him to Jameis Winston. I'm just saying, in general.
I know you.
That was me.
That was me.
Okay. Well, let's so since you did that, let's look at his statistics this season. He has 4,618 yards passing, right? He started the season out with 400 yards per game, 402 with Darren Waller. His stats at this point in time, while they are threatening to be in the playoffs, he has 21 touchdowns and 14 interceptions in a 17-game season. They got one game left, and they could potentially lose this game because this is a division rivalry. And last season, he was 4,103. They went 8-8. He had a 27-9 season, decent numbers because it's single-digit picks. The season before that, the last season in Oakland, they were 4,000 yards, 21 touchdowns, 8 picks is a single-digit interception total. The year before that, it's 4,049, 19 touchdowns and 10 picks. That's another one. And he has the season before that. Right. Look, and mind you, after the 8-8, a 7-9, 4-12, 6-9, that 12-3 is when he broke his leg. But let's get back to the program. He's 3,496, 22-13. Then the broken leg season where he was in the MVP situation until he broke his leg, 3,937, 28 touchdowns and 6 picks. The season before that is 3,987. Then he had 32-13. And then his rookie season, he was 3,200, 21-12. Everything right here spells to me mediocre. He had 1, 2, 3 seasons of single-digit interceptions. Everything else has been double-digit. And a lot of these double-digit pick totals are right alongside the numbers of him throwing touchdowns. He's basically 1-for-1 when he throws a touchdown. He throws a pick. He's been under 500 five times while being in the league 8 times. So he's only been over 500 really twice. He went 500 the third season. So I don't think it's getting better. He's mediocre. He's middle of the pack to me, and I don't care what quarterback you. Well, if this is the case, you might as well send him to Pittsburgh because Ben Roethlisberger is leaving.
Yeah, we ain't doing that. He ain't coming to Pittsburgh. We ain't doing that.
You have to think about it. You need him. You need him. You need people like him. You need people like him,
yeah.
So you can point fingers and say that's the bad guy.
He's a friend.
Exactly.
Quarterback.
Now you don't want Derek Carr, but you want Mason Rudolph. Cut the crap. This is terrible, bro.
I don't want Mason Rudolph.
Maybe Dwayne Haskins.
Or Dwayne Haskins.
Maybe Dwayne
exactly.
Haskins.
That dude is, I don't want, again, y'all keep mentioning Dwayne Haskins like he's going to be on my damn roster. I don't want Dwayne Haskins.
He is
either.
On your roster. He ain't going nowhere. He's not going nowhere.
He won't be next year. He won't be next year.
Why
we
won't
have,
he?
We have to give him a qualifying offer. We're not going to give him a qualifying offer.
So y'all going to give him the Mason Rudolph?
No, we're not.
Giving it to Mason Rudolph?
Mr. Rudolph is an unrestricted free agent. He can go wherever the hell he wants to go.
So who's going to be your quarterback?
I have no idea, but I sure as hell know it's not going to be Derek Carr or Dwayne Haskins.
Well, then it might be Aaron Simmons.
Honestly,
it could be James Wilson.
If I hear Jameis Winston one more time, I'm coming to wherever you're at.
Jameis Winston.
I know where you at. I will come find you.
No, you won't, because I'll get that call. I'll tell on you again.
Hey, you can tell all you want. That was before I found Jesus.
Well, at least you found him. Barry, you were telling me this year that Jameis Winston's numbers are good for New Orleans. What do we got? 15 touchdowns, 4 interceptions? Is that right?
I mean, Barry, what do you think? Do you think Derek Carr should remain in Vegas, or do you think that this team has seen enough in 8 seasons?
Do we lose Dylan?
He might be on mute. Are you on mute, Barry? I don't know. He may be, but still,
yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I was literally talking the whole time, and I thought you guys could hear me. That bone fart. Okay. I honestly feel like I agree with what you're saying, TP. I understand what you're saying, that the Raiders, not Las Vegas because it's Oakland too, right? They've seen enough of him, right, over the course of 8 seasons. I'm saying you don't know what you've got until it's gone. I'm sitting here watching the most horrendous quarterback play I've ever seen in my life, and I'm telling you, I would take Derek Carr in a heartbeat compared to what I've seen the last three years.
Derek Carr, compared to Danny Dimes is different. Like, yes, you would take him.
So,
right.
But what I'm
saying
is the Raiders. Hang on 1 second, TP. What I'm saying, though, is the Raider fans can't. What's your better option? Who do you realistically think you can get into Oakland with your cap situation? You can't draft a quarterback. I don't think there's a quarterback in the draft. Realistically, who do you think you can get that's better than Carr? I mean, there are better quarterbacks, but who can you bring in?
He said TP. He don't know you. Hold on. He said TP. Barry, he is in the city of sin. Do you know how many people love to go to Las Vegas? Ask Aaron right here if he likes to go to Las Vegas. Ask him. Watch this.
No, watch. But it's not like who would want to come there.
Ask him if he likes to go to Las Vegas. Watch this.
No, I know, but that's
so
not the question. What I'm saying, TP.
That's a popular attraction for a lot of people. Listen,
who can they bring in with their cap situation, with the draft picks, everything? Do they have the assets to bring in Winston? Russell Wilson's the name that everybody's talking about, right?
Russell Wilson would probably go there.
Can they realistically bring him in?
Russell Wilson could go there. You got to see the schematics of what's going on with that team. I don't have all the numbers at the top of my head, Barry. Like, you would have to break that down right now for me to figure out if Russell would pull the trigger. Russell's not happy in Seattle, bro. Like, you think he's going to keep going there, and they didn't put nothing around him. They didn't retool that offensive line, and their defense is trash. Yo, they put up 51 points up against the Lions and still gave up 30. They still gave up 30 to a backup quarterback on the Lions. I don't think he wants to stay in Seattle. I don't think that's something that he wants to end his career there. Like, not with the rest of the team not supporting him. He go right to Vegas. Mm-hmm. Sierra could get a job in the middle of Vegas. That'll be lit. And I've been to Allegiant Stadium right now. It's ridiculous inside this. It was so crazy. I was about to be like, I'm a Raiders fan. That's how wild it was in there. Like, Russ going in there, taking that over from a guy that don't really show too much emotion. Like they need a guy like Russ that got that type of spirit, let alone been to a Super Bowl twice. I don't know. That's up to y'all. I don't think Derek Carr is that guy. If they want to keep taking that horse outside and behind the shed, they're gonna keep shooting him in his foot and seeing if he can survive another day. Then so be it. But I don't think so. Five seasons under 500, two above, and one at 500. You do the math.
No, Barry, well, here's the deal. They have $42 million in cap space. Russell Wilson's making 30. How much is he making? 33. I got to double check that because I was trying to get the numbers before you finish. Honestly, I honestly think they could do a trade and absorb his contract. I think they can make it work because Carr's contract is about 25 per year. It's a 5-year, $125 million contract that he signed. I think, you know, Wilson's got about a 35 a year contract. So I think they can make it work. I would take Wilson over Carr, absolutely. But I do want to just say, I do think, given everything that the Raiders gone through with that idiot coach Gruden, losing Henry Ruggs, losing one of the best tight ends in the league, he has literally barely anybody to throw to other than Renfro. He has them one game into the playoffs on a Sunday night game against the Chargers. I don't know what more you can ask from the guy. That's all I can say. You know what I mean? Go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry I cut you off.
Barry, you told me in this space a couple times that Winston was having a good year. What you said?
Yeah,
15
absolutely.
15 touchdowns, four interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
He's got half the number. He's got maybe five seasons of work. I mean, all I'm saying is when you look at what the contracts would cost, you look at the experience and you look at him knowing a system, I'm saying that maybe I'm not smoking as much as you think, Sam. Maybe for one game right now, I'd rather take Jameis over Jared Carr.
Okay. I mean, but he's hurt. I'm talking about the current guys. Like, you know, I like what
no, I mean,
I thought
take
he
Jared
was,
Carr with Taysom Hill just like you would over Jamie Dimon, for sure.
Yeah, I think Jameis deserves – every opportunity to be their starting quarterback going forward, and I hope he is in New Orleans. And if not, I'm sure there's going to be teams knocking on his door. You know, I think the Saints would be foolish to let him go unless they upgrade.
I think they bring Jameis back unless they are the team that is somehow able to procure the services of Russell Wilson with Sean Payton.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the only way I wouldn't bring back Winston. And if he doesn't, I think a team is going to be happy to have that guy under center. So it's an interesting debate. I just feel like with everything the Raiders have gone through this year, for them to be 9-7 and one game into the playoff race is pretty remarkable. So, but listen, TP, I agree. He's worn out his welcome in Raiders because he hasn't really gotten them over the hump. And it doesn't help that you got Patrick Mahomes in your division and now Justin Herbert. You're watching this guy throw bombs.
You
know,
it
doesn't help.
To war with Patrick, listen, wait, watch this. And you want him to keep going to war with Patrick Mahomes, and to be brutally honest, I'm sorry I'm going to have to say this, Herbert's better than him. Justin Herbert is better than Derek Carr. So you got a youngin' that's getting better in his third season that's going to look better than you in powder blue than you look in black and silver. You don't want to sit there looking like that while the times are changing right in front of your eyes. No, don't. And in the valley of Sin City. Like, yo, don't. They got to get rid of that. They can't.
Speaking of Herbert being better than Carr, because that's true, we may end up talking about this 2020 quarterback class, even just these first two, but maybe depending on what Jalen Hurts does too. But Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert both.
That's exactly what I was about to ask, Mike. I was about to pitch it. I'll come right to you, Mike. Herbert or Burrow, who would you take right now? No? Mike.
I'm here. I'll be honest with you, man. Like, I ain't gonna lie to you, bro. I'm biased. Okay, like, Justin Herbert has turned out to be much better than I thought. I thought when he came out, he could make the big throws downfield. I said some of the smaller throws or the intermediate stuff he wasn't very good at. I mean, I saw him airmail some screen passes and things in Oregon. Justin Herbert has continued. Herbert has continued to get better as he has evolved in this league, and so I have a lot of respect for his game. But I'll tell you right now, if I had to pick between the two, I would take Joey Burrow, and I'll tell you why. That man is not scared to pull the trigger in any situation. He's also he recognizes flaws in his game. He's continued to get better. Listen, he disconnected. What did Ja'Marr Chase have this past weekend? You guys, like 266 yards or something crazy? Like, exceptional numbers. So this guy's pulling the trigger. His interceptions are a little high this year. I think that'll come down. But if I had to pick, and I'll be honest with you, I'm answering looking through purple and gold glasses, but I'll take Joey Burrow.
Serious, go ahead.
So my question to your question is this. Before we even go down this road, you know, Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, are the weapons coming with them? Because I honestly believe that Joe Burrow has the better assortment of weapons than Justin Herbert. Now, if we're talking pound for pound, you know, quarterback over quarterback, mano a mano, that's one conversation. But here's the thing, when we start having these hypothetical, you know, conversations where we start talking about, you know, quarterback better than this, that, and the third, you know, what Ja'Marr Chase is doing this year, it's damn near under. It's ridiculous. And then, you know, with the rest of the weapons,
New Orleans,
has,
boy,
and Joe Mick, the LSU dude is no joke. You know what I'm saying? You know, and with the rest of the weapons that he has, is great. Justin Herbert literally has one of the worst offensive lines in football, and he's throwing to one receiver. Maybe, you know, one and a half to give Williams. So Justin Herbert's doing it with less, but Joe Burrow, again, I'm still a fan and I hate this, but that dude is an assassin.
But Burrow's got a terrible line, too. Go ahead, Mike.
He does, but if you give him the weapons, he showed you in college, too. If you give him the weapons, he'll win. That offense his last year at LSU was one of the most dynamic offenses anybody's seen in college football. I'm sorry, like, I'm a LSU fan or not. Like, that offense was ridiculous. And you're starting to see how well these guys' skills are translating to that next level as well, right? So it was sick. I do believe his interceptions are going to be a little bit high. If you're just talking about, like, throwing a pretty pass and whatever else, like, the eye test is probably going to be Justin Herbert, probably 9 times out of 10, maybe 8 times out of 10. But Burrow does seem to have some of those intangibles. He's a little bit more mobile, I feel like, at times. He does some other things. I think he definitely knows how to win and has that killer instinct in him. I don't think you can go wrong with either one of these two guys as franchise quarterbacks. I would take Burrow, but I don't think you can go wrong with either option.
You want to know what I did while you guys are going back and forth? You know what I did? I did the comparison between Derek Carr and Justin Herbert. Their numbers are almost identical. While they both are 9-7 at this point in time, watch this. Listen, Derek Carr has 408 completions on the season. Justin Herbert has 409 completions on the season. Derek Carr has attempted 590 passes this season. Justin Herbert has attempted 608. Passes this season. Their completion percentage, it favors Derek Carr. He's at 69.2. Herbert is at 67.3. Their passing yards, Derek Carr has 4,618. Herbert has 4,631. Derek Carr has 21 touchdowns. Herbert has 35. This is where it starts to get freakier. Rating. Sure. Carr is 94.3, Herbert is 99.5. longest pass is 61 for Derek Carr, 72 for Herbert. They both have 14 picks apiece, both of them. Derek Carr has been sacked 37 times. Herbert has been sacked 28 times. What else do you have? And their rushing yards, I mean, just if anybody's counting, Derek Carr has 109, and Justin Herbert has 301 because he'll take off on you. So, sure. I mean, to me, it clearly is the favorite for Justin Herbert, and he's the younger one in his second season. Like, it's only going to get better. You know what I'm saying? Like, this, you're seeing the decline of Derek Carr at that organization. Just to give
Tom, I know his interceptions are high, but can you pull Burrow into that?
Burrow to, let's see if I could add him to it. I want to see.
Well, I mean, TP gets that. I mean, I'm just curious. These two are always going to be linked, right? Herbert and Burrow, because they're in the same draft.
Like,
you know, exactly that whole class. I'm just wondering how many GMs are kicking themselves that they didn't take Justin Herbert. I mean, I know there were questions about him coming out of Oregon, which kind of, you know, I don't know how fair it was. You know what I mean? Like, everybody knew he had the arm talent, but I just don't think they understood how good he really was. I knew he was a good quarterback, and I kind of said, all right, we'll see how he does in the pros. But nobody expected this. Like, nobody expected him to be.
I think it has to do with that one double A level, like, because he transferred to Oregon later, but he played on a one double A level before that, before he transferred there. So I think that has to do with the same thing with your boy in Buffalo, Josh Allen. I mean, he played in Wyoming, so people, you know, kind of question the effectiveness there. And then on the big stage as a senior, he lost the game to Auburn. Because freshman Bo Nix made a big time throw late in the game for them to win that game. Threw a touchdown pass late in that game. Funny how things end up evolving when now Bo Nix is going to Oregon from Auburn. But
right,
you know, he had that big stage and was unable to step forward, and that defense made him look a little bit vulnerable, which I think had a lot to do with why his draft stock dropped. But that defense was very good. Listen, that was the defense that came closest to shutting down LSU that year, too. That was a struggle football game for LSU that season. So, I mean, Auburn was tough. They were a lot to handle on that defensive front. So, it turned out when you saw what happened with LSU against that Auburn team, that those Justin Herbert struggles were not quite as bad as they may have looked like on the surface.
Right. I mean,
Wait a minute. Justin Herbert's numbers are better than Joe Burrow's.
And here they are.
I'm sure. Yeah, read them out real quick.
He has on him, Joe Burrow has one win better than him. That's it.
And a division title.
Completion
percentage. You know, okay, the Chargers had some bad losses this year. They had some. This game they shouldn't have lost. They shouldn't have lost to the Cowboys.
A couple bad losses, too. After they beat Baltimore the first time, I talked about this, and I was wrong on the Sunday morning on the bunch when I said they may not handle the taste of success well this year. But if you look early in the season when they lost to Baltimore, when they beat Baltimore, Cincinnati turned around and lost a couple games they shouldn't have lost either.
Right. But, I mean, you know, I thought they should have beat the Chiefs that Thursday night game, I mean. The Texans, that's inexcusable. You know, that Cowboys game, I thought they should have won. You know, and maybe even, I don't know, that Vikings game, that was a close game, right? The Vikings game, that was a back-and-forth game, I think, if I remember. So, but even still, to TV's point, I mean, those two, Burrow and Herbert, Burrow's going to get the benefit because they won the division. They're in the playoffs. And Herbert's trying to get his way in. And if they lose this game Sunday, everybody's just going to say Burrow better. Burrow's better. Burrow's better. You know what I mean? And he is that dude. I'm looking at Burrow like if anybody could have gone home, he went home to Ohio to play for a team that nobody wants to play for. And he's in 2 years, and for him, like, a year and a half, got them in the playoffs. I mean, you got to get props for that, right?
Herbert did the same thing.
He didn't get drafted there, though.
What did Herbert do? Do you know the story of Justin Herbert? Justin Herbert did this when he was like 8 years old, wrote to his teacher what he wanted to be. He said he wanted to be a pro quarterback for the Chargers. And it's the pro quarterback of the Chargers. Call this.
Right.
In elementary school.
The Chargers have had a little bit better success than we're talking about Houdet Nation in Cincinnati, right? Cincinnati's been a laughing spot for the last couple of years.
Right. I mean, Cincinnati.
There was a lot of pressure on him. Everybody knew that the Bengals were going to have that number one pick. Everybody knew that they should get Joe Burrow because of what he was doing at LSU. It was just like it was inevitable that he was going there. And for him to go there and still perform, and they got the weapons. I mean, Jamar Chase is there anybody else that could get rookie offensive player of the year? Like,
Mac Jones.
Mac Jones, Najee Harris, maybe, but nah, it's going to be Jamar Chase.
Najee broke a Franco Harris record. Like, that's from the 70-whatever
right.
year. So, like, you better respect that gangster. Like, listen, okay. Jamar going crazy, but just think, Mac Jones is filling the shoes of the GOAT, period.
But I'm also looking at one game where he threw three passes. I think that's going to hurt him.
That win pushed Adam Schefter on the ground, bro.
I know, but I'm looking at that, and I'm looking at early in the season, they had him on, like, basically on a pitch count. They just didn't want to give him the reins yet. You know what I mean? They have slowly let him open up the offense and throw the ball more. But Mac Jones is an interesting case. Like, nobody talks about him either. But Jamar Chase, man, wow. Like,
I think it could have gone either way, but I think the ridiculous game that Chase just had this past Sunday. I mean, listen, every time I heard my fantasy notifications, I picked it up and he was scoring another big touchdown. Like, his numbers were absolutely insane in a game
that
he was the clinch division, like in a big-time game. And so to me, listen, all respect to Mac Jones, all respect to Najee Harris. I love both of these guys. I thought they would both be very good pros. And I think they will have long, illustrious pro careers. But when you look at, like, I think if he had had subpar last couple of games, I think we might have had an argument. But when you look at the game that Chase just put together this past Sunday, I think he sealed it.
Yeah, it's hard to argue that. Style points matter, and your last impression of the guy matters. I think Jamar Chase is in a good position to get that offensive rookie of the year. But like you guys said, Najee Harris, over 1,000 yards for a team that couldn't run the ball at all last year, and then Mac Jones filling in for Tom Brady, got them in the playoffs, probably should have won the division. But, you know, got to give them their props too. But I'm looking at that last year's draft, and it's hard to – listen, I know Chase Young is that dude from Ohio State. Washington still looking for a quarterback. Detroit, they got a really good corner out of Ohio State. Could they have used Herbert? Different is about the shade color blue, man. Giants, Andrew Thomas had a crappy rookie year. I think he's like the eighth best tackle in the league right now, according to the Pro Football Focus stats. But, I mean, would I take Herbert over Daniel Jones? I'd take a bag of nickels over Danny Dimes right now. So, I mean, and then it's the Dolphins, right? They went with Tua over Herbert. I think that's the team that's going to rule the day that they didn't take Justin Herbert. Out of all those teams, right?
Washington had the second pick overall, and they went with Chase Young over Justin Herbert.
But can you blame them?
I can't.
It tells us.
Go ahead, real quick.
No, I can't blame them because this is a franchise who has been in QB purgatory for as long as I've been alive. You know what I'm saying? I mean, let's keep it a buck. Ben Roethlisberger played for 18 years and gave a significant amount of time, playing decent football. If you get that franchise quarterback, if you are so lucky enough to grab somebody who can be your franchise quarterback, you move heaven and earth to get that guy because, again, I'm not trying to poo-poo any other position, but you can find outside edge rushers. You can find lockdown corners. Hell, you can find running backs. But these quarterbacks are a hot commodity, and they chose to pass up on Matt Jones. They chose to pass up this past year. They passed up on Matt Jones. They passed up on Justin Fields. Last year, they passed up on Justin Herbert to go get a Chase Young who, again, he's hurt now, and you know, but at the end of the day, you can go get yourself a defensive end. It's very difficult in this day and age to find yourself a franchise quarterback. It's very difficult.
A franchise quarterback is the hardest thing to find in professional football. There's a reason why when it comes to free agency, the edge rushers, the defensive ends, and the corners, the people that can try to rush the passer and or lock down receivers, there's a reason why those guys, along with offensive linemen, make big money. But franchise quarterbacks are hard to find, and if you find the right guy at the receiver position, those guys, you have to hit it right. But if you hit it right, it makes sense. I'll be honest with you. I very much questioned in this space and lots of spaces what Cincinnati did as far as taking Chase and not taking the big lineman from Oregon Tool. As long as they can continue to improve that line over the next couple of years, I won't question that pick again. But I agree with you on Washington. If you have a chance to take a franchise guy, a guy that you believe can be a franchise guy, you take him. They tried with Haskins. They've tried with other guys and missed. And so maybe that fear of failure caused them to go look at another position. That may be part of the reason behind that. But, I don't blame anybody. Even if it's a reach for some people or even if some people don't pick a guy that high, if a franchise sees a guy they like and they believe he can be their guy moving forward, I don't blame them for picking him wherever they have to pick him because there are very few, there's only a handful of teams every year that have quarterbacks that have been with that team for 8 to 10 years plus. If you can find that guy, you move heaven and earth to do it.
Yeah, because, I mean, they were sold, but Haskins was still in the fold, right, in 2020 to start before the draft started?
No, he was gone.
Was he gone?
They picked Haskins the year before.
Yeah, they picked him
the year before,
but they had cut him.
They cut him.
Yes, they cut him. He was still there. To your point, Mike, Arizona hit the reset button with their top 10 pick in Rosen, right? After 1 year, they said, no, we got the number one pick, Kyler Murray, we like better. We're taking Kyler Murray because, to your point, franchise quarterbacks are not easy to find. They had their guy. They knew that they liked him, and they didn't care that they were wasting that top pick. And, you know, it worked out for the best for them, right? So,
and then they shipped him off to the Dolphins for like a six-rounder, and a lot of people laughed. And people thought, well, maybe if this guy's still a franchise guy, he's going to be great for the Dolphins, and he never really saw the field. So they knew what they were doing by hitting the reset button. But kudos to them for not holding on extra long like the Redskins, like the football team did with Haskins.
Yeah. It takes guts to do that because that could cost you your job as a GM coming in, right? That was a new GM, new head coach they brought in. Like, it could have cost them their job, but right now they're in the playoffs and, you know, looking to get that division. So, great discussion. But calling number 929-477-2759. We're in overtime. I could talk sports with you guys all night. So I definitely wanted to hit this before we get out of here. There's a couple playoff spots up for grabs. We got two spots in the AFC, and we got two spots in the NFC. One spot, I mean, in the NFC. Basically, in the NFC, the 49ers and Saints are the two teams vying for that spot. The fact that the Saints are still in it with everything that they've gone through this year, kudos to them. But the 49ers getting a win last week with Lance under quarterback. Garoppolo, I think, was just resting the hand. He'll have the surgery in the offseason. That's the scenario out there. Four teams out in the AFC that can get into the playoff position. The Colts, the Chargers, the Raiders that we talked about, and the Steelers still in it because of the tie. Kissing your sister doesn't hurt all the time, right, Sirius? But and Baltimore has an outside shot. Baltimore needs a lot to go on to get in. I kind of don't count them, even though they're still in it. They're so ravaged with injuries and everything. I don't know how they can get in, but they've lost five straight, and they still mathematically are in the position to get in. So, I mean, TP, I'll start with you, TP. Which of these teams in the NFC and the AFC do you think have the best chances of getting into the playoffs after this week's games?
Getting into the playoffs?
Yeah. So the Colts, Chargers, Raiders, Steelers, and Ravens, two teams you think are going to get in.
The Colts on the AFC, NFC is tough. I really think the Niners can hang on to their spot as well, depending on what Jimmy G looks like. And if Trey has to come into the game, I'll do that. I'll go the Niners in one, and in the AFC, I want to see the coach. Taylor could actually get 2,000 yards if he actually – goes crazy. So this is interesting.
49ers got a tough game going to L.A. to face the Rams. The Rams aren't pulling off the dogs because they got to win this game to secure the division, right? So this is going to be a tough game for both teams. That's why the Saints, who are on the road, they got to face the Falcons. But, it's going to be interesting. Something tells me the 49ers will find a way, but it's going to be a tough game for them. The Colts is so funny because the Colts have the easiest track, right? If they beat the Jaguars, they're in. But they haven't beaten the Jaguars in Jacksonville in over 6 years. So, it's like, oh, you know what I mean? Like, maybe they can get in. So, who knows? But, if anybody – the Colts, I think – probably stand the best chance of getting in. Chargers and Raiders, I think it's between those two. I just don't see the Steelers kind of creeping into the playoff position unless the Colts lose and then they have their way in. But it's going to be tough. Sirius, who do you think gets in? Who do you think gets in? Do you think your Steelers have a shot? I mean, the Colts have to lose to Jacksonville.
Yeah, I mean, I think we have a shot. I mean, but in actuality, just, being real with myself and, kind of looking at how things, are, in my opinion, going to play out, I think the Colts and I think the Chargers lock up the 6th and 7th seed in the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
I think, honestly, the Colts are just going to blitz the fire out of the Jaguars and start sitting people and getting, guys out the way. I do understand that, Jaguars are pretty much own the Colts, in that venue in recent years. But, I'm not going to sit here and, kind of fool with gold, so to speak. I do believe that the Colts and the Jaguars get in. On the other side, I think the Saints find a way to crawl into the game. I think the Saints do it based off the matchup. I think the Rams need this game. I think the Rams want to kind of atone for getting dismantled and embarrassed.
Yep.
The last time they played. They were just out-physical, out-played. And if you are able to win a ball game to kind of knock a division opponent out, I think McVay is really going to pull a lot of the stops here, and I just do not trust the Atlanta Falcons. So I think the Saints kind of backed themselves into the postseason, setting up an interesting matchup with potentially the Tampa Bay Buccaneers again. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, you bring up a great point. That Ram team got punched in the mouth, and they did not have an answer for it. Like, I'm sitting here watching this game. They're running the football, and they're going to run the football, and the Rams could not stop them. They couldn't do anything against them. They got punched in the mouth. They got embarrassed in that game. If they got any heart at home, they better win this game against the 49ers, not only to keep them out of the playoffs, but to get their pride back and get that division. So there's a lot on the line for the Rams. Mike, I mean, can the Saints sneak in with Taysom Hill, your boy,
man, what a
at
crazy,
quarterback?
What a, at least he didn't have to land sign. So listen,
negative 10 yards passing.
Listen, this has been a crazy season for the Saints. Like, you start the season, then you have the evacuation to Dallas, everything, the hurricane of the season. It's really been a long season for the Saints. And everything they've had to endure and all the injuries. Listen, I don't think anybody can really knock too hard Sean Payton and the job that the Saints have done this year, trying to keep things together. When you look at Kamara being out for a little while, having to go get Ingram, your star receiver still hasn't played. It's been a very tough season, and so for them to even be in the hunt, I think is a reason for who dat, not who day, who dat nation, to be encouraged moving forward with this franchise. That being said, listen, it wasn't only running the ball; it was little dink and dunk passes over the middle, like into that second level of that Rams defense that absolutely just they had no answer for. And so to me, the Rams have two choices. They can listen to the playoffs or they can rise up statement that was a fluke and that they've closed that hole for people to game plan for them in January. Because as you guys know, come playoff football, if you got weaknesses, they will be exposed. How many times have you seen teams play a close game and the next weekend the playoffs go down like 31-7 or something, right? So we've seen it happen multiple years and multiple games over the course of the season. So that being said, can they? Yes, they can find a way to eke in. It would be just the luck of the New Orleans Saints, though, to get a 49ers win and find a way to sit in Atlanta. I still think the same thing that I thought a week earlier, as far as this is a revenge game. I think they're going to try to get one in the division. Before last week, the Saints were 2-2 in the division with both of their wins coming against Tom Brady. So who would have expected that to be the case? I think the Saints can win this weekend. I wouldn't be surprised if the 49ers find a way to upset the Rams, the L.A. Rams. But if the Rams really want to be true NFC contenders, they find a way, to plug some of those holes and show the world that they have done so this weekend. So if they can do that, hey, maybe the Saints can make the playoffs. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
And Cam Akers will be back. He's going to be back in that game. Sony Michel's playing really well for them as well. So I don't think he'll get a lot of snaps, but, having Cam Akers back on the field for the Rams is a huge lift for them. What do you think about the AFC?
If you can have Cam Akers healthy down the stretch or even in the next season, like, that guy is another level of explosiveness. Like, he could be a difference maker for that team. AFC,
absolutely.
Colts just have to win. I think they find a way to win in Jacksonville. I think Chargers beat your boy Derek Carr in the franchise quarterback for the Las Vegas Raiders. And I think that the Chargers and Colts get the 6-7 seeds in the AFC.
Yeah,
Are going to be dangerous. I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean to, but I'll be done here.
No, go ahead.
The Colts are going to be a dangerous matchup, though. But as long as Carson Wentz doesn't winch it up for everybody, like, this is a team that can run the football. This is a team that plays decent defense. That's a recipe to win in January. They're going to be a very interesting and tough first round matchup against anybody in the AFC in the first week of the playoffs. And so if I'm the other playoff teams in the AFC, I'm really – no disrespect, Sirius, and to your Steelers. But if I'm the rest of the AFC playoff field, I'm hoping that somehow Jacksonville can continue the curse on the Colts, because I would much rather see the Steelers and the Indianapolis Colts in wild card weekend if I'm on the other sideline.
Yeah, I mean, Taylor, I mean, he's a long way from 2,000 yards. He's like 266 yards away. But, I mean, he's not getting there. Well, I mean, it's the Jaguars. You never know. But, I mean, you know, he's having an MVP caliber season. That's a team that plays defense and runs the ball. You're right. That's a team that you don't want to face in the playoffs. So it'll be take care of business, get your win. I mean, after, you know, I think the Colts are a great story too, because they had started the season so badly, and to find themselves a win in their end at this point, it is really good. I mean, the line is 15.5 though, TP, on the road. I'll take the points. I don't know. I'll take the points on that one. I don't know what you're thinking, but I still think the Colts will win that game and get in the playoffs. Vegas is up to something. We gotta look out for that. But listen, there's going to be some good games. There's going to be some crap games, just end the season games, like the Giants and football team. I hope to be there so I can just boo Joe Judge, and then I will leave. But, you know, there's going to be some fun games, Chiefs and Broncos, and then the Titans and the Texans trying to get the vie for that number one spot. I think the Titans have the inside track just because they're, you know, they have the better matchup. But, you know, it's going to be interesting. Fun season coming to an end. And then, hey, wild card week spills into Monday. You'll have your first playoff game on a Monday. So it's going to, you know, NFL always figures out a way. I just hope, you know I heard rumors that I think the Grammys are being postponed in L.A. and the NFL is looking into protocols for the Super Bowl, because that's going to be in SoFi in L.A. in case they have to make a move for this. I don't think anything's going to happen, but, you know, they might have to do some things to make sure that game goes off without a hitch with COVID going on. So we'll see how that all shakes out. But
listen, yeah, they already canceled me at work. I was supposed to be back in the office next week, and they said due to everything rising and whatever else, you can continue to work remotely for another week, and we'll reevaluate at the end of the week. So, I mean, even peons like me in the working stiff world, like, I'm starting to see some effects because of it.
Yeah, listen, I'm home. I have no plans going into the office. We just had a company meeting today. They said, you know, the office is open, but, you know, use it at your discretion. Listen, the villain ain't going in the office. You won't see the villain. I was planning on going with the new year. Not happening. Especially if school was canceled today. I mean, it's just, you know, and like I said, you know, my oldest is got it too, so it's scary out there. You know, we got to be safe. We got to make sure everybody, we got to get through this, man. We got to get through this together. But I don't know if anybody's got anything else to add, TP. If you got anything to add, I'll start to, I think the bowls, we're scraping the bottom of the bowls here. We can close up shop, start doing the dishes, and get us out of here. I don't know if he's there. TP, if you're there, we love you. Michael, thank you for calling in. Always a pleasure. Give us a quick close, and we get out of here, and the callers click out.
Yeah, man, much love to Sports City Chefs, man. Check out the site, the merchandise, all of our shows, finger foods, everything we got going on. Same thing with the barbershop on Clubhouse. Got a lot of cool things going on, man. Also got a GoFundMe for Grooves, the godfather of the barbershop. Thomas is the soul, Grooves, the godfather. We got some just some serious things going on with him, family, and everything. So if you feel so inclined, come help us out. Check out some of the different things we got going on there. We are 4,000 plus and growing, not 2 million strong like the Flintstones vitamins, but 4,000 strong and growing in the barbershop. Please come join the barbershop family. Check us out. You like Sirius, me, Timeless, a lot of the personalities that you hear on Sports City Chefs. You can also find interact with us in the barbershop on Clubhouse. So come check that out, man. You know, in the words of Stuart Scott, man, hugs and hang pounds to all of you guys, but late great Stuart Scott, rest in power. But man, let's all take care of each other. Let's all be safe. You know, mask up, do the things you got to do to help try to prevent the spread, so we can at least enjoy sports and enjoy the world and be around people we love and care about, man. So, laissez les bons temps relais, who that nation always, 515, is where I live, calling from the 615 and always represent the 504. Shout out to Sirius giving out some area codes. I got one more for you, 615. Much love to everybody, man. Thank you for having me. I'm out.
Hi, Mike. We love the Lakers. I'm just messing with you. Thanks for calling, Mike. Love you, man. Sirius, man, get us out of here. Give us a...
Yeah, you're tired. Javier Baez. No, you got no. Yeah, you got Baez, right? You got Baez. Yeah, we'll see how
no,
you guys
I'm
do.
Talking about the real Tigers, the purple and gold, bro, all day.
I know. Sirius, let's get us out of here, man. Give us a quick plug, man.
Yeah, it's your boy Sirius up in that 412 and the 703, man. Such a pleasure to be here with you guys. Want to call us cookout before I get out of here. Two things I wanted to bring you guys' attention. First and foremost, we didn't talk about the MVP race. Evidently, there was a voter or something like that in Chicago.
I saw it.
Felt as though Aaron Rodgers shouldn't win. I actually wanted to talk about the MVP race, but we'll do that at a different time. And also breaking, just as you were on the air, Antonio Brown breaks the silence and kind of unleashes a can on Bruce Arians and the Bucks organization. Again, we were on air. I was sitting here reading it. I posted it on my social media platform. It's in our group thread. So when you get a chance, take a look at that. With that being said, definitely check us out, www.sportscitychefs.com, the blog, the merchandise, all that stuff that we got going on. Shout out to the homie TP, the homie Groove and everything. You know, prayers up to Groove and his family for dealing with what they had to deal with. I have another friend of mine who unfortunately lost their life this past week. So, man, times is tough, man. I understand that people are doing different things in 2022. Trying to overcome the pandemic and things of that nature, but it's very, very important that we be safe, be smart out here, and definitely, you know, give love and don't wish that somebody's, you know, gone before you give them the flowers. Tell them you love them. Unless you're a villain, then you don't love villains. With that being said, your boy says he's gone. I'll catch with you guys later.
No, he loves me. I don't know why he acts like that. He loves me. Tell Malik Uncle Villain's going to come save him. Don't worry. Uncle Villain's on the way. Listen, I did see that about that clown in Chicago talking about Aaron Rodgers. Listen, there was one voter that didn't vote for Derek Jeter, right? Got to make your bone somehow, get some publicity. So give him a shout-out, everybody, if you get a chance, because that's what he wants to do. PP, if you're with me, I'll kick it over to you. Listen, get to the website, the blog, the interviews. Got a blog coming up soon. We got a lot of things cooking at Sports City. Get the merch. Nobody's bought the merch in a while. Get your stuff, man. Get your mask. Get your hoodie, man. It's cold out there. So we got a lot of things cooking. Crossover Cafe probably on tomorrow, so we'll be on there for that. TP Timeless, if you're there, give us a close. Give us a shout. You know what to do. If not, I'll do it myself because that's how I roll. But like TP would say, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Sports City, Sports City, chefs, chefs. Sports City, Sports City, chefs, chefs. Sports City, Sports City, chefs, chefs. Sports City, Sports City, chefs. Kaboom. Sports City chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, bloom like a flower in June. Superman versus MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend it's the Sports City chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City, chefs, chefs.
Connecticut.